We're on our last lesson for 30 Days Renewal, last sermon. What have y'all thought about this curriculum?
It's been good.
I like it, yeah.
It's been a good reminder.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, to run off of that, it's been a great reminder of what true worship and praise is, what it's supposed to represent. You know, and that not everyone worships and prays the exact same way. Mm-hmm. We're not, like the preacher says, we're not cookie cutters. Mm-hmm. And thank God for that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and, but we're not going to look down our noses at anyone that does praise in the way they do. Mm-hmm. That's why it blessed my heart when I see my brother walking down the parking lot. You know, I just, to God be the glory. You know, I love it. Amen.
You ask for forgiveness too.
Well, the title of our lesson for today is Hearing God's Voice. Oftentimes, especially in this society, we have so many distractions that we don't take time to listen to God speak to us. And that's part of what this lesson is supposed to be about, is to give us a daily devotional to where we could set aside a short amount of time to have a daily devotional. Some of us are not in that habit of doing that. And so if we followed the curriculum and we did that daily, we might have fallen into a different habit, to where we devote a amount of time every day to just allowing the Lord to talk to us. It's difficult sometimes to understand how God can relate to some of us as sinful as we are, and all that God has done for us. Our lesson talks about going through a drive-thru, you know, McDonald's, Hardee's, whatever, and placing your order, and you're expecting a certain thing after you place your order, and oftentimes that's not what you get. And I know a lady that I've seen every time had a couple of young boys, and the young boys, when they went to McDonald's, they wanted their hamburgers a certain way. You know, they didn't want pickles, they didn't want mustard, they didn't want ketchup, they just wanted like meat and lettuce on there. And place the order, and you know, you get in your bag and you walk away and you open it up. That's not what you ordered. I felt sorry for those clerks, you know, the tellers that you go back in. And also you go to, say, like JCPenney's, and you got all these coupons, and some say this is double off, and on Thursday you get an extra 10% off or whatever. Walk out of the store and looking at the receipt. Oh, that's not right. Turn around and go back in. Oh, poor clerk, you know. You know, this said double off, this coupon on Thursdays, you didn't give me double off, so they gotta go back in and fix all that stuff. But when we order something and pay our money for it, we expect that product that we paid for, the way it's supposed to be. And Jesus Christ has paid for us. Amen. He has redeemed us. He expects us to be what we're supposed to be. And it's difficult to try to imagine the mind of God when what He has paid a significant price for, and He don't get what He paid for. Why is it so hard for us to obey God sometimes?
Selfishness. own pride. You know, we want to, especially men, you know, we don't want nobody to tell us what to do and, you know, how to do it and all that kind of stuff. We want to kind of pick and choose sometimes what we want to obey and what we're not going.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, too, if we totally surrender and obey in our own minds, we may fear what God is going to want us to do.
Amen.
You know, that's going to be out of our comfort zone.
Amen.
Yeah.
The way the world is around you.
Well, we're under a lot of peer pressure too, and in our culture, American culture at least, men that are very spiritual, a lot of men look on them as being weak or dependent on something to help them get by, or not being a man's man. But that's not the case. When you look at the Bible, some of the most manly people in the Bible were men of God, and that is just a false picture of what manliness is. It's sure not weakness if you're a man of God. Our first scripture we're going to look at.
Satan would have you believe it.
Pardon me?
Satan would have you believe that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That you're weak if you depend on God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was part of what he's telling Eve, you know. You can be like God. God wants to keep you suppressed, oppressed. You know, if you'll just eat this fruit, you'll be just like God. And God don't want you to be that way. You know, God wants you to keep you in your place. Yeah. So, yeah. Our first scripture we're looking at is Psalm 51. Psalm 51. It's not too long. Would somebody like to read that for us? Psalm 51. Okay, Brian.
Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt, purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion, it haunts me day and night. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner, yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. O give me back my joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saved me. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices offered in the right spirit, with burnt offerings and the whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar.
Thank you. If you look at some of your Bibles, have a sort of like an introduction to the psalm. Mine says a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. David was called a man after God's own heart, but that don't mean he was sinless. He did all kind of things that displeased God. But when he was confronted with his sin, he would earnestly repent and turn back to God. In this case, after Nathan the prophet confronted him about his sin with Bathsheba, he did the same thing. He turned and asked God for forgiveness. And God did forgive him, but there's a price. That was his firstborn son by Bathsheba God took. But in this case here in the psalm, we're going to focus in on verse 15. In verse 15, in the King James Version, says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. David is in a condition where a lot of us are. If we have done something that displeased God, we feel like we just can't go before God anymore and worship God and so forth. But God wants us to. God wants us to repent. God wants that relationship with Him restored. And David's asking for that, that he may be able to praise God again like he did before he committed this sin. That keeps a lot of people away from church. They feel like they're not good enough to go to church. That they got to get their lives right. But no. Uh-uh. Yeah. You come to church, you know, it's like a hospital for your soul.
Correct.
And you come here to get healed. And you have all kind of caretakers in a church to help you through that healing process. But oftentimes we're not comfortable worshiping God at certain points in our life. But we have to be able to listen to God. That's what our lesson's about, hearing to God's voice. I guess you'd say it's something like a sports event or something like that. Each kind of sports event you have, a team has a coach. And the coach gives out instructions and so forth. And the coach knows what the kids are doing. If they're trying to do their best, he can determine that. But there's some kids, no matter what kind of play you call or that you're running or whatever, some kids say, I know better than that. I'll do my own thing, you know. And they don't do that, but a time or two, the coach says, you go sit on the bench. You're not listening to me. You're hearing what I'm saying, but you're not listening. You're not carrying it out. I think God does that to us sometimes, too. You know, God's speaking to us. And we're not listening to God. And God said, you got to sit on the bench for a while. He's got to take us down low. He's got to humble us before he can put us back in the game to where we can praise him. He wants to put us back in. He wants us to be a star player in his game. But we have to listen. We have to listen. And we only listen to God if we have that authentic kind of relationship that we need to have with him. If we don't have a relationship with God, we don't hear what he's saying. You know, we have to know God, and we know God through Scripture and other ways too. But we have to know God to be able to listen to his voice. Next scripture we're looking at is Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 50. Verse 4. B.
That's our verse right
there. Yes. And since it's our verse for today, I'll read it out of our book here because it's a little bit different from the King James Version. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. He wakens me morning by morning, wakens my ear to listen like one being taught. Unless God draws us to him, we can't get there ourselves. And when he opens our ears, like verse says, he opens them for a purpose for us to listen to him. What are some of the ways that we hear God speaking to us?
Through the Bible and through other people.
Scripture. Mm-hmm. Other people. Yeah. Anything else?
Still small voice.
Yeah.
Well, and if you're quiet.
Yeah.
I think sometimes when it's a, an idea or a thought will come to you
and it just won't let you be alone.
Uh-huh.
It just keeps coming.
Yeah, right. Like, right.
Assurance.
Yeah.
through scriptural songs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, songs. Yeah. Songs that are orthodox.
Amen.
Christianity, but
contemporary Christian songs as well.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. It can happen.
Not necessarily.
Though. It can happen.
It can. God can use anything.
He does.
That's right.
He can use anything.
He can use the nature.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's some Christian rock.
But not all of them. I mean, they're
not. Yeah, some.
Some.
Not all. I mean, in general.
No. There's some people
that
God,
I agree.
God uses that. You can't.
But God, yeah, God can use things that we don't even think about Him using to speak to us.
Yeah, there are a lot of contemporary songs now, modern songs that are actually kind of like from the Bible directly, you know, the world.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So that's nice. Yeah. I mean, there are some, of course, that you don't get anything, you know. You don't
sure.
Get,
Michael Carter is very...
You can even distinguish sometimes, you know, that it's a worship song.
He's a pastor.
And other books besides just the Bible, too. There's, you know... The book we just went through in the Point Man, you know, Disciplines of a Godly Man. You know, God can speak to you through Christian books like that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or even secular books as Christians. I mean, I might be stretching here a little bit, but I can watch some of the, like maybe an R-rated movie. I don't watch R-rated movies. Well, something on TV that you wouldn't recommend for a Christian to watch. But me, when I'm watching something like that, and say the guy leaves the family or something, I say, okay, you left your wife. Now, here's all the things that's going to happen. I can just imagine the plot to it, because as a Christian, knowing the consequences of, you know, being living a sinful life, you can see it playing out in a secular movie. And, even though its purpose is not a Christian movie, you can, as a Christian, you can discern things in there that reinforces biblical principles. Where a person who's not a Christian probably wouldn't be looking for those kind of things. But God can use all these different kind of mediums to touch us and speak to us. Besides just the scriptures, but we'd still, scripture is our foundation, is what we...
Well, you should check whatever you do from these other sources with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Even the study of the sciences, you know, when
you
start getting into all that, it really shows the hand of God in creation, our bodies and everything.
But oftentimes we spend too much time talking, not enough time listening. And the preacher said it, you know, in a Wednesday night Bible study here recently, a lot of times in our prayers, we're asking for healing and things like that. There's nothing wrong with that. But prayer is also a time of worship, you know. And it's not going from God to you all the time. It's also supposed to be coming from us to God as a time of worship. And we get, I don't know, it seemed like we... getting a routine where we're all always praying for our needs instead of
praising
Him for what He, who He is and what He does already for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And giving thanks for what He has done.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. I thought this verse was very convicting. I found it to be, because I think in America we have a real sleeping giant of believers who need to be praying more than just about themselves and what they want and what their family's involved in.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're in a battle, and this battle is really, you know, getting hot here, and I just think God wants to use us, but we as a nation need to be more repentant, so that He can restore us to move out. And so I found it very convicting. You know, we lived in Chardon, Ohio for 20-some years of our lives. And last night on the internet, I noticed that that church that always goes and protests against soldiers' funerals is protesting in Chardon this last couple days because at a church,
mm-hmm.
but over 100 people, believers, showed up to pray and form a chain. And that needs to happen everywhere, not just because of that, because of Occupy, because of all these things that are forces in America that'll keep us thinking about ourselves rather than what God wants.
Right.
We don't even know what He wants us to be about every day, I don't think.
But we know the kind of things that pleases God.
Absolutely.
You know,
I mean individually, what He wants us to be doing that day, today, and tomorrow, you know. That's all.
You know, as an adult, I think you're a little bit of a handicap if you're not having kids, because it helps me to understand my relationship with God by understanding my relationship with my kids. And I've told both my boys, you want daddy to open his wallet? Make me happy, you know. And really, if kids do things that just bless you, you want to do something back for them. And I think that's the way God is. If we're pleasing God in what we're doing, God's going to open His treasure chest and pour it out for us.
And it makes us sad when our kids aren't appreciative.
Sure.
About how God,
yeah.
You know, when we're not appreciative for what He's done.
Yeah.
And praying and thanking Him.
Yeah, it's all relationship and how you deal with that relationship.
I also think that too many people dwell on what their hurts have been and not dwell on the Lord's gifts.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Too many people are living in the past
or
worrying about the future.
And God wants to heal all that if we will allow Him to heal our past.
Nobody knows if we're going to be here at midnight tonight.
Yeah.
That's right.
So we got to live this day and give the Lord as much as we can.
That's right.
Yeah, the Scripture says that God can make us a new creature. And I mean, born again, and everything that we've done in the past is wiped clean.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. What a promise.
Yeah.
And that blessing might include suffering, because it draws others to Him. Mm-hmm. We can't forget that.
Mm-hmm. I have a favorite thing I say to people when they are doing something they shouldn't be doing. I say, do you know you're making God cry right now? Mm-hmm. They have a look at me. And I imagine when I mess up, got up there just crying, why did you do that, my child? Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We say the same thing to our kids. I mean, as we've been going through our 30 days of renewal here in Lesson and everything, is there any ways in which you like to praise God but you just feel like you can't? Is it
dancing?
Okay.
There's ways that I praise at home that I wouldn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
You know?
Or here at the church.
Uh huh.
To a degree.
I could see him issuing pots and pans for banging.
Give me a couple hours to bang.
Yeah.
Also, Deacon, through this lesson here, he really emphasizes doing a lot of stuff publicly and stuff like that, which I'm all for. But I mean, it definitely need to be legit and not to be seen. A lot of people do stuff to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, it just spoils the whole thing. You know, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, you know, you can kind of discern when somebody's just faking it. And it's just like, I don't want to be a part of that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
But a lot of us, for various reasons, we feel like we can't do certain kind of things. I mean, it's just not in our nature to raise our hand or dance in the aisle or sing out loud where everybody can hear us or whatever, you know, that something that we might like to do, we feel inhibited to a degree. And also there's people that feel like they're not ready for certain things in a church. But maybe there's never a time that they're ready until they actually do it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you call somebody to be in charge of some kind of project, I've never done that before. I don't know how to do that. But if you can get somebody started doing some kind of ministry in the church, then sometimes they take hold of that and they run with it, you know. But a lot of time they're hesitant to get started with anything in the church. They have some kind of inhibition for that. But there's some people that just come to church because they think it's the right thing to do, culturally. You know, a lot of people want to get married in church. That's the only time they ever go to church, get married or get buried. And those kind of, well, some of those people just don't have a relationship with God. And we're not going to turn there, but in 1 Kings chapter 3, there's a story about two women coming before King Solomon with a baby. There's a live baby and a dead baby. And there's coming before King Solomon. Both women were claiming the live baby. Both women were claiming the dead baby belonged to the other woman. So nobody had a resolution for it, so it comes before King Solomon. And King Solomon hears their petitions and the both sides of the story. And he says, okay, cut the baby in half, give one half to each one of them. Now, I don't know if King Solomon would have followed through with that or not. I don't think that was his intent. But the true mother of the child says, no, let her have it. And what that did, that showed an affection for the child. And that affection she showed for the child showed a relationship existed there. And a lot of people invite somebody to Sunday school in the morning. Oh, that's Sunday morning. I can't get up early. They don't have the affection existing there. And that's an indication they may not be a relationship there also. Somebody that has a relationship with the Lord has a certain degree of affection. They may be different degrees, but they have a certain degree of affection to where they want to do things that pleases the Lord and Savior. And if there's that affection don't exist, it's an indication that maybe that relationship don't exist. The next scripture we're looking at is John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he call his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he put forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger. And of course, it's talk about Jesus and his sheep. And several principles it's talking about here is it's God that opens the gate for us. He's the one that's going to let us out of the sheepfold. It's our job to listen. And it's not when we're listening for the voice of our leader. When I was a kid, there's woods down behind the house and a creek back down there. Nice place for kids to play. We would go way back into the woods, you know, maybe, I don't know, half a mile, I don't know how far. But my mom would walk out the back door and she'd holler. And it didn't matter how far away we were, if we heard her, we better get home right then. And it was amazing how far her voice would carry. And again, we rode bicycles all over the neighborhood. And rode bicycles out of the range of her voice. And she'd holler. And of course, we're so far away, we couldn't hear them. But there's some woman in between there. Calvin, your mom hollered me. So it was like, so we would get the word. You know, it may not directly, but we would get the word. We better get home right then. But we knew that we better react when we heard her voice. Mm-hmm. When our Savior calls us, you know, we should know His voice too. If that relationship there exists, that He is our shepherd, we know His voice. And He speaks to us specifically by name. You know, when my mom was calling, she wasn't calling any other kids, you know. But when she called, you know, I perked up and I said, "What you going for? I gotta go. You know, mom's calling. I gotta go." Other kids said, "Don't worry about it. No, no, I gotta go." I knew if I didn't get back there, I was gonna be in trouble.
Those kids weren't
going to
get the spanking.
No, they weren't going to get spanking. I had to get home. Mm-hmm. And God leads the way. He knows where we should be going better than we do. I guess one of the classic examples in the Bible is with Abraham. Abraham knew the voice of God. And he listened to God, but he didn't always follow what God told him to do. You know, God told him that He was going to provide him a son to be his heir.
Well, that story,
Abraham believed him.
Yeah, that story is all about patience.
He believed him, but he
also listened to his wife.
God didn't tell him exactly how he's going to do it, though.
Kind of like Eve.
Or when he was going to do it. So, and it was a tradition that a wife could give her handmaiden to their husband to produce a child when they was barren. So they rationalized God's plan and decided we're going to help God out and make it happen. But that wasn't God's plan. God knows the way, and He'll provide the means to get there. And Abraham decided he'd take his own path instead of waiting for God to explicitly show him the path. I mean, I can see the same thing in my own life, too, you know, that there are certain things I wanted out of life as a young man, and I was going to make it happen. But it's not the way that God wanted it to happen, you know. So after I messed everything up, I said, "I give up, God. Okay, I tried it my way. It didn't work. Okay, I'm going to try it your way now." And everything I was wanting, you know, family-wise and stuff, God gave me a godly wife and two sons I'm proud of, you know, and He gave me what I wanted. But it wasn't until I submitted to what God wanted me to do that He blessed me with that.
Listening to those R.C. Sproul tapes, and that story in the Bible always kind of bothered me, where the men were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and they stumbled and the man put his hand out to steady it, which seemed like he was, you know, trying to protect it. But the way R.C. Sproul put it was, if the Ark had fallen in the dirt, it wouldn't have gotten dirty because the dirt was doing what it was supposed to do. It's the humans that are dirty. We're the ones that have sin in our lives. And
well, the problem with that, they weren't supposed to be carrying it on the cart to start
right.
with.
Right. I mean, everything
yeah.
was done
Everything
wrong.
They were doing were wrong.
They did it wrong.
So it sort of, it's, yeah, it sort of snowballed.
So and one thing just went into another, but it was, you know, that not obeying God to begin with. And then I just thought that was really, you know, interesting because we are, the humans, we are the ones who are stained. We are the ones who are not pure.
And when we're listening to our shepherd, when we're listening to God and we know His voice and we follow His voice, it keeps us from all the harm. You know, if a sheep follows the wrong shepherd, he might be somebody's supper, you know. So we got to know the voice of our Lord and Savior. And I don't know, but I've been told that bank tellers, when they're trying to determine, when they're training them to identify a counterfeit, they don't show them counterfeit money. They show them all the details of the authentic money. So if something shows up that don't match that, then it's counterfeit, because it's impossible to show somebody all the different variations of what counterfeit money would look like. So you train them on the authentic thing, so when something that's not authentic shows up, they can identify it as counterfeit. So we need to know the authentic voice of our Lord and Savior, so any other things that we hear, we'll be able to discern as a false voice. And what are some of the things that speak to us in a false voice? Like, okay, money.
Well,
the commercials
on TV.
Desires. It speaks to our own desires and things that war against what Christ wants for us.
And I think a lot of people think that they look at God and think that He should think and feel and do as a person would. They don't understand that God is not a human person, and His what He is might say to us wouldn't be what we would just say to somebody else as a human being, because
His ways aren't our ways.
And I think that's where secular society goes off the path. They expect God to respond and react like a human being would. And when we as Christians say, no, that's not the way it is, they just can't understand. Mm-hmm. That means that God is a terrible person. Mm-hmm. If He is what you say He is, then He's not.
If He don't give me what I want, He must not be a loving God.
Or if He lets this happen or that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of the secular people now are saying that the Christians are so narrow-minded. Mm-hmm. When they're actually narrow-minded in their view, because they're attributing God with human characteristics and not with godly.
In our lesson, some of the voices that make hearing God more difficult, I've got listed here, is money, possessions, social status, education, peer pressure, achievement, career advancement, personal goals, family, past failures, fear of failure, unworthiness. I mean, we can go on and on with things that distract us from hearing God's voice. And the lesson gives us a few guidelines to follow. First, it says, God's instructions to us will never violate biblical principles.
Amen.
If you don't have a good grasp of the Scripture, it's a whole lot easier for you to be deceived and be led astray. A whole lot easier. We should always match anything that's presented to us against Scripture. Is that scriptural or not? And that should be our foundation there. Example is abortion. You know, abortion is legal. So what's wrong with it, you know? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the question a lot of people ask. There's nothing wrong with it. It's legal.
Yeah, I've got an answer for you want to murder that baby that's innocent? Let all these other murderers out of jail. Yeah.
Homosexuality. You know, a lot of states are passing laws where same-sex can marry now. What's wrong with it? It's legal, you know. Well,
I wonder if they get it. Steve, he made Adam and Eve.
And a guy that's supposed to be, Kirk Cameron, that's supposed to be going to one of the churches, he just got blasted recently about, you know, making a comment about against homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
California.
I'm sure our pastor will too when he comes and when he does the Bible study and teaches it to our congregation. I mean, it's going to happen someday. He's going to study it.
And the gospel is offensive to those that don't know the Lord.
Right.
It's offensive.
That's right.
God will never tell us to do something that's inconsistent with his character.
Well, that means you need to know the character of God. And secular, like Barb was saying, people have confused the character of God with the character of man.
Right.
I had a woman years ago who was wanting to get a divorce from her husband, and she said she was a Christian, but she said, you know, about the till death us do part, that somebody had told her, well, that's just till the death of the marriage. That's not...
What?
It's like, you know, it's what Barb's saying. I know. See, people, and that tickles your ears or whatever, you know, that's what she wanted to hear. And so that's... And it's like, oh, brother.
And last thing it's got listed, God will never tell us to do something that doesn't glorify him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And just what you're saying here... We hear people say oftentimes that I know God wants me to be happy. But their definition of happy is, you know, leaving their wife and a wife leaving her husband and going off with a lover or something like that, you know. And God wants me to be happy. Yeah, you know, God wants you to be happy. That's not the way he wants you to be happy, though. If you match
after
it.
The sufferings of Christ.
Exactly.
I just watched a segment on ABC here yesterday. A 41-year-old high school teacher had moved in, shacked up with an 18-year-old senior. He quit his job and stuff like that. And they were living together. He left his wife and family. And the interviewer didn't seem to be taking sides, just asking questions. But the man had a 17-year-old daughter and says, what would you think if your 17-year-old daughter did what you have done with this 18-year-old? You know, well, I'd want her to be happy. And but they were just rationalizing what they had decided to do.
Yeah,
and even in secular society, those kind of things are taboo, but he did it anyway. But it was legal. She was 18, of age. So it was legal for her to move out of home, and there's nothing, probably not illegal for her to shack up. It's not morally right, but they wouldn't be happy. So,
in a couple years or less,
but
it'll be unhappy.
The question you got to ask is, if a man would do that to his wife and family, how long is this relationship going to last?
And usually they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
18-year-old would be crushed.
Yeah, that speaks to the big issues. Everybody always wants to be happy and everything to go smoothly. It's just that life's not that way. You know, sometimes if you're going to do what's right, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be struggling.
If you don't figure out how to handle those struggles in the first place, you just carry them with you.
Right. And I mean, most of us in here have been married. But marriage is not always rosy. You got some rough spots, and yeah, and it's character building to get over those rough spots, you know.
For both.
Yeah, and if both of you are have a relationship with your Lord and Savior, it makes it a whole lot easier. We'll be back on Ephesians next Sunday. Our lesson 9 will pass out there. Let's close with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this time together to discuss your word. We pray now as we go into your sanctuary, Lord, that all our words and deeds and songs of praise will be pleasing in thy sight. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.